Yael Osowski is a reporter with Florida Watchdog, and the story is about the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. This gives immunity to telecommunications companies to disclose private phone records to the NSA and the FBI. Senators Marco Rubio and Bill Nelson recently voted to extend the bill. President Obama signed it in 1930, signed it on December 30th. Yael joins us live today on WNDB. Sir, I hope I'm pronouncing your first name correctly. Am I even close?
Actually, it is Yael.
Yael. Okay, well, there you go. I apologize, sir. Yael, did this not begin during the Bush administration?
Now, this is something that was first proposed. You had back in 2004, where you had parts of FISA, which was signed by Democrat Jimmy Carter in 1978. Parts of this have sort of always come up every few years. It was codified in the Patriot Act. It was brought up again in 2004, and then in 2008, you had the latest version. And what we have now in the year 2013 is just an extension of that bill in 2008. This deals with the NSA, FBI, warrantless wiretapping, and also the telecommunications companies having a little bit of immunity when it comes to future things in the courts.
All right. What's the purpose? I mean, what are they looking for?
Well, in this case, the way that it's framed, it's to go after those groups which are hostile to the United States. The classic example, it is terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda. There are many different cases where this has been used to gather people who have been involved in conspiracies against the United States. Again, this is going through the Supreme Court, going through different levels of the court, and people from the FBI to the NSA to even people in the CIA have actually used this in order to wiretap the phones of people they suspect to be terrorists or criminals.
Now, if they're going after organized groups like that, do they have to have probable cause before they can start wiretapping?
The bill addresses this, and it has a very specific way of looking this over. The thing, I guess, would make it different to the way that it works for you or I, if we are, we're in some sort of group or something is happening, we're involved in illegal activity, the government needs a warrant from a judge in order to wiretap our phones. What this provision does is it sort of bypasses that product. All they need is some sort of probable cause to believe that someone is connected to a foreign power. Now, that's the language that's in the legislation, in the bill, and it's been argued in the Supreme Court to that effect. And really, we haven't had a clear answer as to what that really means, being connected to a foreign power. Does that mean just organized groups? Does that have to be tied specifically to a government? This is something that really is not very clear for right now, and it still is going to be argued in the courts going forward.
What if a person wanted to call their parents in Iran, which had been traditionally on the enemies list? Does that mean that the government could just start eavesdropping on those phone conversations?
Most likely, yes. If they have any sort of reason to believe that this could be a call connected to some sort of group, And really the way that we've seen it done so far in cases that have been declassified, there have been stories in the New York Times and in other publications to this effect to try to explain it. A lot of these calls have actually been, I guess you could say they've been listened in on when there's some sort of a foreigner on the line, somebody in a foreign country, or even troops stationed abroad that get calls from their family here at home.
This is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, correct? Is that a subset of the Patriot Act?
No, actually it is its own bill. But really what it does is it takes different portions of the Patriot Act and just codifies them in a certain way. And it really is a way of taking all the things that were signed into law by the Patriot Act in 2001 and having its own little judicial procedure, its own little sort of legal courts, a little own sort of provisions that are not as codified in the Patriot Act.
Yael, help me understand this. Senator Bill Nelson said, according to your writing, he disapproves of the retroactive immunity to phone and internet companies that give private information to law enforcement, but that didn't stop him from voting for the bill. Why did he vote for the bill then?
And that's really a mystery. I reached out to his office and to Senator Rubio. And actually, in following this process on C-SPAN, which I recommend anyone in your audience to do, just cspan.org, there were two amendments put forward by Senator Ron Wyden and Senator Rand Paul, just to this effect, asking, the government should not have to, go through this system to try to wiretap American citizens. This is something that goes beyond the rule of law. And even the immunity part, there was another amendment that was offered. Those were all voted down. Senator Nelson voted all of those down as well, and he gave his vote to the bill in the end. So it's really a mystery into why he's putting that into a statement when really he didn't do anything significant to oppose the bill or that part of the bill.
I'm also not understanding the president, because according to your writing, the president signed the renewal of the warrantless spying into law, even though he voiced concerns about the original bill during his initial campaign for president. His quote, "Once I'm sworn in as president, I'll have my attorney general conduct a comprehensive review of all of our surveillance programs and to make further recommendations on any steps needed to preserve civil liberties and to prevent executive branch abuse in the future," unquote. Well, I guess that went out the window once he was elected, eh?
This is a president and an administration that has probably been the most heinous in prosecuting whistleblowers and in sort of going after civil liberties. Reports and these commitments that the president has promised throughout his run-up to run for president, none of these things have ever come about, and there really have been a lot of concerns from civil libertarians about not just this program, but ongoing wars in the Middle East and the provisions for rule of law, how people are to be tried. There still are a lot of questions. Very interesting to see how this will develop in the next administration.
I don't want to be obtuse. I don't want to be thought of as obtuse, but let me ask you, what's the problem here? Is there a worry that people are going to be framed? I don't have conversations on the phone that are that interesting with anybody. I mean, should I be worried they're going to listen in and on my conversations and do what with it?
I think that's always sort of the classic way that it's viewed, is if I'm not doing anything wrong, what do I have to worry about? And I think for most Americans, usually at the time, it's not really a concern. But, of course, this is the principle of it. The police and the government have many tools to catch bad guys, to catch terrorists. All this really does is it extends those tools to new technology, and it extends those tools even farther than they ever have been interpreted before. Now, as a normal citizen, obviously we don't have to be the worry that we're going to be stopped for terrorism. But there are many cases. In California recently, there was a case where there's an FBI sting where someone was just calling his cousin. I believe it was not in Iran, but it was in Kuwait, just calling his friend, his cousin, and just talking about several things. The government was very suspicious. They wiretapped those conversations, eventually started a sting operation to see if he would blow something up. And in the end, it was never really determined that he was that fashion. This is just sort of a way the government is trying to extend tools to its agencies because the American people are clamoring for it, but we're really not seeing that effect, and you could see a lot of innocent people have their communications intercepted because of this law.
I'm really surprised that Senator Rubio signed this. I mean, I don't know where he's coming from.
Well, for that, I did dive deep into his legislative history. And, for his great speeches and his great rhetoric, I really have yet to see any significant vote where Senator Rubio has broken from the Republican majority. And another point that I wanted to include in the article is that these are the sort of bills that routinely receive bipartisan support from both Republicans and Democrats. There is relatively little debate about these things, and they're just sort of passed over. That's why I hope to shed a little bit of light on the issue by writing my article.
This is going to catch a lot of people by surprise. I guess the question that I then have is, where do we go from here? The thing isn't up for grabs now until 2017.
And, obviously we can try to sit by and wait for the Supreme Court to put something out, but, that's why you have a Congress. That's why you have legislative people that we've elected that are closest to us that are supposed to be there. And I guess because there hasn't really been a public backlash because of this, the congressmen have sort of gone on to continue to pass these laws and renew them really without much scrutiny. So it's really up to the people to understand what is going on and to be critical and to hold their elected people to account.
This is unbelievable. Are you afraid that this is going to springboard into something else?
Well, to say that it is springboard into something else is to assume that we're not already at a point where we've had so many springboards. I mean, there are just so many laws and things that are passed into the Federal Register every single day that we barely even know about. And there aren't enough reporters out there, certainly not enough investigative reporters like Watchdog.org, to look at these things and to ask questions. And just today, there's a story about how President Obama might start using more executive orders to limit guns. And this is something that is baffling to a lot of people who are in the law community and also for normal private citizens who have not yet broken a law and could find themselves facing the government pretty soon.
What's the reaction to your piece in your blog at Florida Watchdog? What are you getting for reaction?
So far, reactions are pretty good from Republicans and Democrats. I think awareness of the issue is very important, and it's not even a partisan issue. This is not something where you're trying to cast one party or another side as the bad guys. This is more about what the government is now equipped to do, whether it's on our team or on the other team. I think all Americans really at the end of the day need to view the issue like this, and reaction to my article so far has been just like that. And I hope that in the future a lot of people will be more skeptical, will continue to read into investigations like this we're trying to put together for people here in Florida and across the nation.
That's a disturbing piece nonetheless. It's Yael Ozosky with FloridaWatchdog.org. Thanks so much for being with us on the Mark Bernier program today. A disturbing story. We'll be watching to see what the reaction is. Hope to talk with you again, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. It's 4:41, 19 minutes before 5. Coming up on our 5 o'clock hour in the program.